Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri. Reverend Victor Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister of the Word of God and has been ministering for over 15 years. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now listen to Victor Collins Isabri.
Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for bringing us together again. I pray the Lord you will speak to us, you will comfort us, you affect our lives. Let none of us leave this place the same as we came. In Jesus' name, and somebody said amen. Well, why don't you put your hands together for the Lord? You may please be seated. Are you glad you're in church tonight? Wow. All right. 2 Timothy. We're looking at meat for the master's use. Meat for the master's use. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let's read from verse 1, isn't it? Let's read some scriptures tonight. Okay? From verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. Read some nice scriptures. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. I mean, this is a verse that explains why pastors are prosperous. Isn't it? Oh, you don't understand what I'm trying to say. The Bible says that the farmer who plows a farm must be the first to eat of what comes out of the farm. That's what the scripture is saying. So the first person who must be prosperous here in the church is the pastor. Before the church members. You can't have if there's something wrong with your head, you'll be out there naked. Are you with me? You see, the thing that happens to a madman, a mad person is somebody who has a very good eye. Eyes can see. Nose can smell. Mouth can talk and can eat and everything. Ears can hear. In fact, the legs work, the hands work, the stomach, intestines, everything works. The only thing that doesn't work is the head. And once the head doesn't work, then the whole body follows suit. The whole body doesn't work. It doesn't work in the sense that the bodies are not used properly or used for what it is created for. Are you with me? So if your pastor is poor, I promise you with all my heart, you'll be poorer. Because the husbandman, which is the farmer, husbandman is a good English, old English word for a farmer. Adi, the farmer Can you believe that I am the one here that as the pastor, I'm preaching, and I don't have a car to drive? No, you have to buy a car for me to drive. You are lucky that the car was bought for me by my father. You should rather buy another car, big car for me to drive. Yeah. No, if you really think about it, that's what you should do. Because this car, you didn't buy it for me. My father bought the car for me. You have not bought any car for me. But you have bought a car for yourself. I don't know why I'm talking about it. I don't know why I said let's start from verse 1 tonight. I should have 3 cars, 4 cars. Because the husband must be the first who must partake of the fruit. Anybody who takes, you see, the first is there, is a proton. Anybody else who partakes of the fruit, it's not good. Yeah. Call it that. The pastor. So when people say, oh, what? The pastor, look at the vehicle. He drives some big fancy vehicle. You heading good? You don't know scriptures? You don't know what you are talking about? Because that's what the Bible says. The Bible even says that, do not muzzle the ox that treads the corn. There's the ox, all right? The oxen that plows the land and they help in the farm. The Bible is saying that don't put anything around its mouth when it is working in the farm. Abba, he's the one who has been clearing the land and helping you do everything. Now some small corn that he's going to put in his mouth. You have used something to cover his mouth so that he will not bite. No, you can't do that. Do not muzzle the ox that treads the corn. You got it now. He said, the woman who is cooking the food, you can't ban her from tasting the food. He said, hey, hello, you are cooking for me. Don't let any... No. She has to taste. That's why after tasting, they get... Okay, they are filled. Yeah, some when they eat whilst they are cooking. You can't tell them that they can't eat. Are you with me? You see, I'm saying this, and probably this is the right moment to say this. That, you see... The word of God, ladies and gentlemen, we must take the word of God very, very, very seriously. The word of God is that which will do everything for us. In fact, I plan to really preach about the word of God. I want to do a series on the word of God. Because the word of God, the Bible says it is, is it Hebrews chapter what? 4 and verse what? 12. Give me Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. We'll come back to Timothy. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. The word of God is quick. What is powerful? Is it prayer? Is it fasting? Is it deliverance? Is it anointing oil? Why do you like using anointing oil without using the word? Yeah, many of you have anointing oils in your house. You cream yourself all the time. And you don't know the word. It is not anointing oil that the Bible says is powerful. The Bible says the word of God, the word quick means is the same thing that the Bible uses, that he who quickened Jesus from the dead. To quicken means to bring alive. So the word quick there means that for the word of God is alive, is life. That the word of God can live. If you believe it, it can live for you. That's what Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. When the word of God comes into your life and you allow it, the word is able to live in your life. So if, let's say, the word of faith is preached, or something about hope is preached, or something about blessings is preached, if you allow yourself to receive the word, you will walk, you see, the word will become alive in you, because the word is life. That's what the Bible says, the word is quick. Powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. You see, when a sword has two sides, it's dangerous. When I was growing up, my big brother used to carry a dagger. It has two sides. And he used to demonstrate and he used to say that anybody who try me, I will, you know, thrash their stomach with it. And then I'll press this side, I'll cut this side and cut that side also. Because the difference between a double-edged sword and a one-edged sword is that the one-edged sword can only go one direction. But the two-edged sword can go left and can go right. It's like there's this cutlass that you used to weed. I don't know if you know about it. You can cut the grass like that and then cut it this way. So it's not like you only do that. You don't do that. You do one, two, like that. So it's quicker and it's faster. Are you with me? The word of God is like that. It is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, the word of God is also able to pierce. It pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. One of the very, very difficult things to differentiate or to distinguish from the other is the spirit and the soul. Many people think that the spirit is the soul and not the soul is the spirit. Because it's very difficult to separate the two. They always go together. The soul and the spirit, they always move together. They are like twins. The soul that sinneth, he shall die. The Bible says that the word of God is that so sharp that it can do surgery and can cut between the joint of the soul and the spirit like that. And it says, of the joints and marrow. And it's the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You see, the word of God, how many of you have experienced it before that when I'm preaching, you feel that somebody has spoken to me about you? How many have experienced that before? This is the reason why. It's not that anybody has come to say anything about you to me. The Bible says that the word of God, it is the discerner. It means that it picks up your thoughts and your intentions. And it brings it to you. So this is what you've been thinking about. This is how you've been living your life. This is who you are. And then you are wondering, who is this? Who tell Rev about me? I wish somebody had told me about you. I would have called you directly and not preach about you. If somebody tells me about you, I will not preach about it. I'll call you. I don't have to preach about something that somebody has told me. I'll call you. I'll text you about it. I'll not come and stand here and waste my time to talk about Sherwin when Sherwin is one out of how many hundreds of people here. Just for the record, for those of you who think that we preach with you, we have better things to preach about. If I know something about you, I will call you about it. Why should I come and stand here and talk about it? Why? So when we are here and we are preaching, I don't even know that I'm talking about you. I don't even know, but I know that God is just speaking through me. And by the time you leave here tonight, you would have gotten something from what I'm saying. Yeah, if you believe it, clap properly. Yeah. So we go back to 2 Timothy, and Timothy is saying that, you see, if you know the word, you do things according to the word, and it will be easy. If you know that the pastor has to enjoy first. So the pastor who doesn't enjoy first and actually forgoes his privileges, it's a very, very, it's a great pastor. Because there's nothing wrong in a pastor enjoying his privileges. But if he says, you know what, let the people enjoy some. It is one of the, you have one of the greatest pastors. The husbandman that labored. So the word of God will bring things alive in your head. Many of the things we fight about and we get annoyed about is because we don't know that God has spoken about them. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This world is a dark world.
you will definitely stumble without the word of God. It's the word of God that shines, makes you know where you are standing. And it's the word of God that makes you know where you are heading towards. And when you realize that this direction I'm going is dangerous, you move from that path. Because if you are going towards danger and the place is dark, you will never be able to see. And that's what the word of God does for us. If you don't have the word of God, you always walk through darkness and go into danger. Many of you, your lives are the way it is because the word of God did not shine on your path. You didn't know the word concerning the steps you were taking. Anytime you want to do something, you should look into the word and say, what does God say about this thing that I'm about to do? And God has said so almost everything about everything in his word. Except that we don't read. We don't want to read. We want quick fixes. We want magic. You want some feelings. If you don't feel something, it's not working. The Bible says Jesus even cast devils with his word. He preached. Jesus preached, and then demons ran away. He didn't pray for anybody. He didn't do deliverance. He preached. That's the power of the word. We have made the word to be of non-effect. Because you don't believe it. We want something else than the word. We want action. We want magic. Yeah. We want aerobics. All kinds of things. You know, but the Bible is saying it. If you read the Bible, you realize that the husbandman, and if you don't understand husbandman, you must look for the meaning. The husbandman that laboreth must first. That's why in a home, when you live with mommy and daddy, daddy's meat is a lot than you. Yeah. Yeah. Look. Are you there? Yeah. Daddy's meat must be a lot. Sir Charlene. Daddy's meat must be enough. That's what I'm saying. One of the greatest fathers is that he has a lot of meat. Then he looks at you and says, you know what? Girl, come for this one here. It's like he's forgoing his privileges. Don't think that is your right. He is rather forgoing his privileges because of his heart for you. You must even appreciate that even more. You know, your father's food must be different from your food. Yeah. No, not fries. I mean, you must have the right to eat and leave some. No fries. Yeah, no fries. For those of you wives who don't know, no fries, no meat. Yeah, we are always, whenever we're growing up, whenever we eat, we are always waiting for daddy to finish eating. Because he has more than enough. And he's surely going to leave some behind. And when he leaves some behind, it becomes a fight. It's like, who's going for it? Especially if he doesn't call anybody. If he calls your name, then you are blessed. If he doesn't call anybody, then you must make sure that you get the plate. But if he calls you, it's too much blessing. I say, hey, Collins. Say, God, you are good and your mercies endure. It's excitement. Because even the chicken that he has eaten, he doesn't crack the bones. So the cracking of the bones is also part of your job. And then you go into the marrow and you suck the marrow. You suck as man. Because you only got a leg. Yeah, and the fingers, the foot. And then the fingers, the nails, with nail polish on it. That's what you get. Verse 7. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Verse 8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer. Eight again. He says something about the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to what I've been preaching. That Jesus was raised from the dead. And he says that from what I'm preaching, the fact that I've taken upon myself this job of preaching, I suffer because I am being labeled as an evildoer. You have to know the word, though, to even feel comforted when people say bad things about you. Because you're not the first. You'll not be the last. And if you don't experience this, it means that you are not serving the Lord really well.
Say, I suffer trouble as an evildoer. Can you believe that the person who's preaching and teaching and praying for you is being considered as an evil person? He's being arrested and put in jail. Can you believe it? That we are here and people will call police for police to come and arrest me? For what? When there are so many bad guys out there. There are so many cocaine dealers out there. There are so many thieves and corrupt policemen out there. And they have the audacity to come and organize a pastor because the church is making noise. Tell me if it's not this scripture. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer. Even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. When you arrest a pastor or you arrest, the word of God is not arrested. You can arrest the word of God if you arrest a pastor. Verse 10. Hey, it's a lot of verses, so let's do it faster. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. Whatsoever man soweth, share. If we believe not, yet he abides faithful. He cannot deny himself. Of these things, put them in remembrance. Put the church in remembrance, Timothy, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Again, he speaks to Timothy about the word of God. He said, that's where he must be an expert. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. So many things that are not important. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are his. And let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. If you name the name of the Lord, if you call yourself a child of God or somebody who believes in God, the Bible says you must separate yourself from iniquity. Yeah, it doesn't go with your status and your nature. It does not. Iniquity doesn't go with you. 20. But in a great house, that's where we are. There are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. So we are looking at the subject, meat for the master's use. Meat for the master's use. Now God, we're saying that God is interested in you. God is interested in you. And that is why Apostle came around and he spoke about what God is really interested about. And I hope his words are not going to be in vain in your life. I said, I hope his words are not going to be in vain in your life. That you will rise up according to the preaching he has preached to us all these days. To rise up and serve God in a way we've not done before. God wants to use you. God, you see, God is so wonderful. That is why the God of of Christians and the God of Muslims cannot be the same God. Because the God of Muslims is not a God who wants to use people. Now, how do you become an imam? How do you become somebody who teaches in a mosque? How do you become that? It's not by the will of God. It's not by the call of God. You must go through something that human beings have set up. But God is interested in you, even as young as you are. And he wants to use you. He wants to use you. Are you not excited that God wants to use you? When God is looking for somebody to fetch him some water, it's you he calls. Too fantastic. I mean, for me, it was a privilege when Apostle said I should take him to Suriname. So why not? I'll drive you. It's good to be a driver of a man of God like you. Because he could have gone by plane. He's in America. He can buy his ticket and go. I said, it's a privilege. I'll be your driver. I drove him. Yeah. I drove him. He sleep and I drive. Yeah. It's nice. To have the apostle in your car. But, oh, yeah. It was very fantastic. He said, something similar. God wants to take you on a journey. He wants you to come drive the car. Let's go. It's a privilege. Let me tell you, do not think ever that you're coming to church and you're serving God is for somebody else. Ziggy, are you with me? You're coming to church, Johan. You are coming to church. It's not to profit me. People think that when you come to church, you are doing it for me. You better wake up from your dream. And your sleep. You've been sleeping too long. And when you come to church, it's for the church, it's for the pastor. When you give an offering, it's for the church and for the pastor. Your offering is something that must be a memorial to God for wherever your life is concerned. Read about us as Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. The things we do as people of God is for our own benefit. I tell you. One of the few places that we will force and encourage you to come. Where else do they force you to go? Where else? Tell me, where else would somebody force you to go? You are not forced. Look, your teachers cannot force you. Yeah, but Pastor Ralph, can I ask Pastor Ralph? You can submit your SBA, you can submit whatever. What is that? Your teachers can't force you. Some of them say they are coming to school. They don't come to school. And the parents don't even know. The only place we call you, we come and pick you up like a baby. It's a church. Now, don't take all those things for granted to think that you're coming to church is for somebody. No, please wake up. Because we are going somewhere. This is not the end, you know. This is not the end. And Apostle said a very, very interesting thing. He said that a baby in a mother's womb will never believe that there's a world out there. It doesn't mean that there's no world out there. You and I, is the same way that you and I living here on earth, should not be deceived to think that there's no world out there. You should not be deceived into that. And that world, as we enter into that world, will be separated. Like people are born in America and people are born in Guyana. People are born into prosperity and people are born into poverty. In that world, people are going to be born into light. People are going to be born into heaven. Some are going to go to hell. So it is you and I, it's for our own sake and our own good that we serve God and serve Him with a gladness and with a joy that Apostle taught us about. Let us do because, well, it's a privilege, it's an opportunity to be called by God, to come into His presence and to just be there and sing to Him and dance for Him and rejoice. It is a privilege. And anytime anything comes your way, to try and tell you don't come to church, you must know that it is Satan who has come to talk to you. It's like you're walking on the road and you see money. And then somebody tells you, what do you need it for? Walk past it and go along your way. I'm sure you think that he wants you to pass so that he will come and take it. No, you grab it. I was playing golf with Apostle this morning. And when we go to hole 7, as I was about to tee off, I saw money. $700. And I picked it up. I said, Apostle, I've never seen something like this before. I don't remember the last time I saw money. Yeah. On a floor like that, in a golf course. It should have been more. It should have been 20,000 or 50,000 or something. Otherwise, it was only 700. Yeah. So I took it. I put it in my pocket. I said, when we finish, you go and ask the people if it's for them, you know. I said, yes, Apostle. So we finished. I went to the clubhouse and I asked, what anybody, you know, is looking for, you know, that's lost their money and all of that. I said, no. That's, So he said, oh, why? You found someone? I said, oh, yeah, I found some 700. And whole 7 and just wanted to know. I said, no. Nobody will follow up this. It's all right. Okay, good. So when I went, came into the car, I said, Apostle, I asked. He said, it's not for anybody. You become a church member when you're working with the apostle, you know. Yeah. You're not a pastor anymore. He seems to be become a church member. You know. Hey, you can't see money there. Someone say, man, left the money now. Let me go. If you look at the person you are working with and say, but are you good? You wonder. You heard good. Yeah. You heard good. That's the question you ask. Pastor Isan, oh? You heard good? Something wrong. Stacy was asking me money for she hair. And I see this money. Buy you, what are you taking? My problems are solved. No, it, in a similar way, that's how it is to serve the Lord. To serve the Lord is like, the Bible says the kingdom of God is like a treasure that a man found. And he went back home and he sold everything that he had. And he came and he bought the land on which the treasure is on. So serving God is like treasure that you find on the road. You don't leave it. Don't let your depression make you stop serving God. I said, don't let your depression, your frustration make you stop serving God. Let me give you a clue. What made Adam and Eve fall is what will make us also fall. And that is your interest. Your own interest. It's your interest that makes you fail. What about me? What happened to me? Why not me? Why me? Anytime that thing comes in, you are failing. Your greatest enemy is not Satan. It's yourself. That's why Jesus said, if any man will come after me, he should kill the devil. He should cast out the devil. He should kill all the demons. If any man will come after me, let him forsake and deny. He should take something that he's so conscious about. He should take it and put it on the side. And he said, come and follow me. Anytime you think about yourself, you forget about others and you do what you feel right about. And then you later realize that you did something solo. It's like you are on an island when your life is actually connected with people. Like if I think about myself right now, I say, you know what? Man, I ain't able no more. What happened to you? What happened to Job? Who's celebrating his birthday today? Looking for a raise from me. Stacy. Pastor Sam wakes up in the morning and says, you know what? I can't handle this thing anymore. I'm just going somewhere to just feel nice about myself. And he goes.
You hear the motorbike. You thought he was just buying water on the corner. 30 minutes, 1 hour. I said, what's happening? The guy gone. Yeah. Adam and Eve disappointed God big time because they said, you know what? I want to experience this thing. I want to experience this thing. That's why anytime you think about yourself,
you're in danger.
That's why Christianity is based a lot on sacrifice. Giving up your own interest. Giving up that the reason why we are here doing what we are doing is that we give up our own interest somewhere. We gave up what we felt would have done us good. We gave it up. You come and take up something that is not self. Yeah. And that's what Apostle said. Apostle said, you see, even these pastors' wives, like my wife, when she was marrying me, she didn't know that you were going to also come into my life. If she knew, she'd have probably thought about it. That Apostle said that, yeah. He said, oh, these people are going to be part of this man's life. So what is left of him for me? Today, she was telling her apostles, she told me to come home early. I come home late too much. She's taking a lawyer. She knows that there's a strong lawyer around. So she's trying to play smart. Advocate. Magistrate court didn't work, so he's gone to the high court now. Court of appeal. So serving God is a privilege. Mr. Thompson, are you there? Serving God is a privilege. You must come to church for yourself. And when God says, I want to use you, you must say, what? Me? And every time you are doing the work of service, you must always ask yourself, I can't believe this is me. Anytime you feel that you deserve to be here, that's also yourself. I deserve to be here. You don't deserve to be anywhere. None of us deserve to be anywhere. And that was one thing David always, always remembered. Anthony, is that you at the back there? Yeah. David always remembered. He said that it is this same God who took me from taking care of sheep. You see, David could not understand how come his father always wanted him out of the house. But when the prophet came to anoint one of the greatest people in the whole country, he was the one. He was a little boy. He never forgot that. It's like he's in the bush. The father lined up with all his brothers. He forgot that he was his son. And Samuel saw the firstborn, Eliab. He said, oh, that's him. And the Lord said, don't make a mistake. Man look at the outward, but I look at the heart. That's where that scripture is. Then he told Jesse, are these all your boys? He said, yes. He said, that guy is in the bush. See, in the bush? I will not. I'm waiting. Let somebody call it. I'm waiting. And when David appeared, the Lord spoke to someone and said, that's him. Someone said, what? It's by? So David never forgot how from nowhere he was brought up to become the big man in the country. He never forgot. And that's what kept him going. From the bush, forgotten. But you see, we feel like we deserve it. We must have it. It's for us. Well, he even took too long to tell me. God wants to use us if only we will make ourselves meet for his use. To those of us who have the privilege to do something for God, let us remember that sonnet. You should always ask yourself, why me? Why are you so interested in me? I said, Lord, why?
Are you sure, Lord, that in 2015 you still think that I am the one?
Lord, I think you should. I mean, I don't know whether you think you should think twice, but you see this thing. But you, I think you should think about this thing that you're doing.
Yeah. No, you are doing it, but you must always have that humble spirit that, you know what it's like. It's me still?
That's why somebody will compose a song, I don't know why Jesus loved me. If that is our spirit and that's our heart, we will survive until the end.
We'll survive until the end.
Yeah. If that is our heart, I don't know why. I don't know why you are so interested in me. I don't know why.
Some of the people tell me that. They say, I don't know what you see in me. I also don't know what I see in you. I also don't know why God sees in me too. But I feel nice because I at the back of my mind, I realize that the God, he loves me, pa. To put me where I am, he must love me. He must talk about me like he was talking to the devil about Job. I'm sure he's been talking to me about some angels in heaven lately. So that guy, I love him. Yeah. One day I asked Bishop's wife, Sister Mommy, I asked her, so when you're in the house, what does Bishop say about me?
He said, he loves me.
Yeah, no, I wanted to know. And she told me something I won't tell you. Yeah, you like too many stories. Before we close, or maybe we should close, one of the things that you need to get yourself equipped with meat for the master's use is to be interested in evangelism. Be interested in soul winning. Be interested in other people. It's the whole thing. We've been talking about the whole thing, even in a way that you must see God as somebody who wants to be in a relationship with you. And if God wants to be in a relationship with you, he has a dog. If you love God, you must love his dog. Yeah. I remember a guy who was dating a white girl in Holland. He was dating a white girl for a permit. He met a white girl in a disco. Kitten, are you there? Man, in a disco. And then he hooked up. And the girl invited him to her house. He moved in with gladness and joy. Because he was looking for something the girl has. It's not about, you see, it wasn't about the girl was nice or the girl was, you know, Roman. No, no, no. It was the girl had a European passport. And so, African man, he went, he was living with a girl. The girl had a dog. And what a girl does is that every morning, she would take the dog out to go and poo-poo somewhere, walk around and bring the dog back. Every evening, that's the same thing. When you go shopping, you buy food for the dog. When I was growing up in Africa, the dog, he eats from the garbage. When I see dog food, I say, these people, they are very white people. Oh. Dog food? Come eat from what I've left over right there. What is dog food? Yeah, no. What I eat, the thing I finish, when I finish eating the surplus, I put it in a plate somewhere at the back there. You must eat from it. I should use my money and buy food. No, no, we buy food for human beings, not for dogs. That's a white man, white people thing. Yeah, if you don't get food, then you walk across the garbage dump. You're going to find some dead rat or dead bed. And then you come home and catch thief for me. Share. Yeah, you'll be alert. Yeah. If you, when a dog doesn't eat, that's when it's wild. When a dog eats, he has eating rice. No, 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 no. You can't treat dog like that. You see, the white people, they don't keep dogs as for protection, for security. As pets. That's why they buy food for them. You and I, we black people, we don't sleep in the same place with a dog. The dog in we house is for bark. So you gotta give you high wine for drink. And you go get run like that, the wolf. Anybody who enter the house, you bite your cheek off. That's how we deal with dogs in Africa. We give them high wine to drink. Yeah, yeah. We mix it up with something like a bake. We put a bake in alcohol and give. But he eats it. Oh yeah. It helps him in his work. I'll give him rice and then he should come and sleep in the living room. No. You gotta sleep out there and catch thief. So this guy from Africa, who knows that dogs, they just walk around. Who is going to hold a dog in Africa? Like when I see some here, it's white people. They have dogs and they are just walking them. Say, hey, it's a white people country. Dog, you gotta go out for yourself. You gotta come in yourself. What do you mean? Yeah, go and come. When you go, you must come. Come in so that in the night you can watch. Yeah, and if you go out and you come in late, some of the children in the house will take a stick and they'll hit you. Where were you? That's how we treat dogs. Yeah, that's a dog. So this guy from Africa, who knows, this is how we treat dogs, did it 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. I realized that. This thing, I have to wake up in the morning. I mean, break my sleep and take an animal like a dog. Take him out. And when he poops outside, you have to pick it up. Because the police will arrest you for leaving dog poop around. No, you can't leave dog poop around. No, you spoil it. Because you go into like a play field, like a garden and all of that. People come there and sit down there. You can't poop and leave it. So when you go, you have a bag with you. So when you poop, you take it and you wrap it and then you do a javelin with a short point somewhere. The guy did 3 days and he couldn't take it. He said he can't. The girl said, if you can, out of my house. The same thing God will do with you. God would not use you if you are not interested in his dog. It is like the ladies who have children. You can't marry them and say you don't like their children. Yeah, when you are marrying them, that's why most of them, their sons and their daughters, they come with them today. They come. When they in the bridal train, they are inside. They are telling you they are part of this marriage. Uh-huh. When you are saying, I do, they are sitting somewhere watching you. Uh-huh. So you can't say, oh, I came to marry you, but I didn't marry your son. Let your father come take you away. You realize that the lady will say, ah, is that so? All right. Yeah, and the flow will change. She become quiet. Sweetie, everything all right? Now you come for ask me. Yeah. Oh, did I say anything? Everything okay? Did I say something wrong? No, you didn't say anything wrong. If you don't know what you said wrong, then I can't tell you what you said wrong. Yeah. No, you can't marry somebody with children and say you love her, cook, but you don't. These children disgusting, man. This disgusting bad. No, they behave bad, man. God called the children father, you can't take the children away, you know. Me can't take them stupidness in their house. No, you can't do that. You see, the lady will look at you and say, hey, you love me, but you don't like my dogs? All right. Yeah, yeah. Out, go. Yeah. Meanable with you. The same thing with God. If you are interested in evangelism, if you are interested in outreach, if you are interested in people that he has created, these people who are lost out there, if only you are interested in them, then he sees that you are interested in something he's also interested in. And he says, you know what? Come close. Let's do this thing together. If you are not interested in people, God will not use you. Remember last week, Tuesday, we spoke about people handling skills. The Bible said that a leader then must be apt to teach, must not be a striker.
you cannot deal with. You see, if you don't have the ability to deal with people in a certain way, God will not use you. And that is why you must know, whenever Satan comes to tell you that your pastor doesn't care about you, because to even start with, God only uses somebody who has a heart for his people.
What did he tell Samuel? He said, I look at the heart, not how he looks like.
So for God to place somebody on top of you in the spirit, God approves that that person's heart is for his people.
That is one of the conditions.
And that's how come you can never allow Satan to tell you that the people don't care about you. Then you have believed the lie that he spoke to Eve and Adam in the Garden of Eden. But what do you mean by care? What do you think about care? And how do you interpret care? How do you see care? How do you interpret it? For God so loved the world that he gave. And God will never send anybody who he does not trust to come and play with your dear life.
Think about it. Think about what I'm saying. I said, God will never send anybody into your life as your pastor who will come and play with you.
If you can have that at the back of your mind, you'll do well. That is one of the conditions that God uses to appoint us. And that is something that we have that the politicians don't have. They are commissioning it, they are commissioning factory, they are opening roads, they are this time.
You should read the other newspaper. You see that every day there's something good happening somewhere. Especially this season. Good things are happening. It's a trick.
So when God gives you a pastor, you must know that he himself knows the person. And he knows that the person is good for you. That's why he gave the person to you.
If the person wasn't good for you,
God will never make your paths cross. Never.
Because God loves you so much that he will not allow anybody to take you somewhere else. So he will never, you see, God will never make our paths cross. If he knew, if God knew that you and I, I can't do what he wants me to do for you.
Our paths will never cross. And he'll put you somewhere else where somebody can take better care of you. So sit up and stop those childish things. And grow up. Sit up and grow up. Yeah. And no. Be comforted and be confident that this thing here, God is fully involved. God is fully involved. Yeah. God is fully involved.
Stand to your feet, please. My time is up. God bless you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Why don't you thank God that he thinks about you? Who am I that you are mindful of me? The Bible says, what is man that you are mindful of? You created him just a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Somebody, if you are grateful, if you understood what was preached tonight, and you are glad that God chose you, you are glad that God has called you. It's not everybody who's in church tonight. You go to another church, you see how many people are in the church tonight. You must be glad that you have a place you call your church to come to. It's a blessing. Don't take it for granted. Don't take it for granted. Think about you. Think about yourself. Many years ago, well, Tuesday night, where would you have been? Something has happened to you. Something has happened to you. You must be grateful about that.
You are not saved. You are not born again. You want to go to heaven when you die. This is a prayer you must pray. Pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with all my heart that Jesus died for me. I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. And I believe Jesus is alive right now. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and make my heart your home. I believe that by this simple prayer, I have been saved from hell. My name is written in the book of life, and I am born again now. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful preaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at lciguiana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguiana.org. God richly bless you.